So this is an organized through the Institute of Humanities, and it's sponsored by the School of Communication that myself and my co-conspirator Zoe Druick and I have been organizing for the last few years. And we have done a few different events around this question of education struggles, and specifically around the student debt crisis, and just the changing, rapidly changing landscape of sort of struggle around public education. And obviously, the amazing unfolding story in Quebec is a really important part of that. And so we and it's kind of catapulted us into a whole of discussion that we want to hopefully tonight bring into a more concrete level. So we are going to start our evening tonight with the talks by our comrades who are coming over Skype. Thank you and welcome. And I think something that they're really that we're really looking forward to, and they're going to help us to get a gradually the condition they are in Quebec in terms of where the student movement is at and the historical context and so on. And but we're also really looking forward to hearing and learning more about the kind of organizational forms that have been playing out and being organized in Quebec, and in the specifically this forms of organizational forms and strategies that have driven this student strike, and also to think about the kind of long term form of organizing that it has taken. I mean, it seems like it has erupted onto the national and global stage, but it's been many years of hard organizing work that activists and have been doing. So yeah, we thought we'd really like to take this chance to discuss it in our own setting, and in our own context, and think about how we could also build a movement such as this. And so tonight I'm just going to say quickly what we're going to do. We're going to have our friends give their perspective and give a talk. Then we're going to have a short question and answer period. Then they have to check out. And then we're going to organize ourselves into smaller groups. And we have a question that we are asking people to discuss in smaller groups and then bring back to the larger group, that hopefully to build a more concrete sort of movement building discussion. And I also just wanted to mention that folks have this is a discussion, this isn't a meeting, but folks have been meeting here regularly on Saturday mornings, and so also want to, who is here that has been doing those meetings? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So these folks here, great,
hello.
And so if people also want to join in on those meetings, you know they're right here, so you can come and talk to them, as that's another way in which we can plug in. So then after our discussion, then we are going to go to the Nightly Casserole, wherever that happens to be. We know where it is. And so I just want to introduce Enda Brophy, who is just going to give us some context or background quickly into this.
Okay, thank you, Fiona. Yeah, as I said, I want to just offer a little bit of context as to how this talk came to be. Some of us were, in fact, some of us in this room were at a conference in late April in Toronto. It was called The University Is Ours. It gathered exponents and people who have been involved in struggles within and beyond the neoliberal university. It gathered people from Occupy Student Debt. It gathered people from Wisconsin, and La Classe participated as well. And as one of the kind of concrete results of that conference, and one of the commitments that we took on, was that we would work to develop connections and circulate certain struggles that were happening, and that we would put each other in touch we would put ourselves in touch with each other, and that we would facilitate this kind of circulation of communication and struggle. And so this is the first concrete result of that. And I want to thank our comrades for taking the time to be with us tonight. I also wanted to suggest that this is a part of a broader set of attempts to get a sense of what's happening in Quebec right now. There was a fine event in the evening put on by the BC Fed, which was well attended. There are the aforementioned Saturday morning meetings, which I believe are dedicated to kind of developing our organizational capacities out here in BC. And this is one of those, this is yet another effort to begin to circulate certain questions and develop our collective capacities. So, having said that, I want to introduce our speakers today. Our first speaker will be Xavier LaFrance. Xavier was a spokesperson for CACE during the 2005 strike, and he is also the co-author of an excellent piece of analysis called Red Squares Everywhere, incidentally, which you may find online if you Google it. Our other participants this evening are Hugo Bonin, who is on the ASSE CLASSE Social Struggles Committee. Unfortunately, Rashdi Amedi is unable to make it this evening. She is at the Rio Plus 20 conference. I'm sure that she is giving the Quebec Premier hell down there. Our third participant is Eva-Lone Ponton-Pham. I hope I pronounced your name well. Everyone mispronounces mine, so coming to me as far as that's concerned. Eva has been involved in the strike as a member of the Executive Committee of the Concordia Fine Arts Student Alliance and has recently been involved in the Mob Squad at Concordia and in Free Education Montreal. So the order that we're going to go in is that Xavier is going to give us a talk first, given that he has a bit of perspective as far as the immediate history of this strike is concerned, and then Eva and Hugo are going to talk about the contemporary dynamics of the struggle. Okay.
So hi everyone, thank you very much for your interest in what's going on in Quebec and your efforts to try to bring the spirit of struggle in Vancouver and BC. I'm going to do, I guess, a theoretical, if you like, or whatever, overview of what democratic student unionism, democratic and combative or activist student unionism is in Quebec. And that's at the core of the organizing that's been, unfolding and deployed through this struggle. And then you're going to get the really exciting and probably more interesting part, which is going to be more concrete with Eva and Hugo. But I want to start by saying that you have two main currents that have existed in the Quebec student movement. The first one is what we could call a lobbyist perspective, right? And right now, for 20 years, now just over 20 years, this perspective has been incarnated and embedded through the FEC and the FERJ, which is, the Student Federation for Colleges, is the FEC, or CEGEP, in Quebec, and then you have FERC with universities. These organizations actually, really interestingly, until fairly recently, have been largely functioning on an undemocratic mode, or, there's been lack of democracy in their organizations. They've been largely controlled from above. And so the leaders of these organizations, which are provincial student unions, that we group different campus unions, will formulate largely from above at the exec committee level some demands that they will then expose to the government or the university and colleges, administrations, into the media, etc. So little effort here is being made to actually inform and mobilize the membership as to build a balance of power. The strategy really is lobbying. So you're going to try to produce good research, And then you're going to formulate demands out of that that are quite moderate, because you only have, you know, you don't have much leverage, right? And you're going to present and bargain with the state through this, you know. And yet your access to the state bargaining table is your moderation, basically. Now, the second perspective is what I've called, and what's been called in Quebec, I think, you know, we've been trying to translate as democratic and activist or slash combative student unionism. And it's been, you know, it's been existing through different organizations throughout history since the 60s, actually, in Quebec. I'm not going to go through the details of all that. But right now, and for 10 years, and for over 10 years, it's been existing through ASTE, and now ASTE is the organization who's behind, as most of you would know, I assume, CLASS, which has been at the core, really, of organizing the strike and leading it. So this perspective says, you know, that we need to have student unionism, right? So students are facing, in our society, different types of oppressions, but they also have a specific interests, right? So they're workers, you know, they've been exploited in the workplace, they face racism, sexism, homophobia, etc. But they also, as students, specifically as students, has a specific interest, which is to have access for them and for everyone in society to a public and accessible and free education, right? So education is a right, and it's a public or a common good, right? So students will face tuition hikes and debt, and massive classrooms, privatization of spaces on campus, etc. And so they can form unions in face of these attacks and two different, you know, the right to equality education. They can actually get together and form unions, right? At the level of the campus, you know, universities or colleges, but also the provincial, eventually the national level, right? And so the idea here is that by joining together, we can share, you know, resources through dues, you know, financial resources, but also our capacities, our abilities as individuals and as groups of individuals, and also, and crucially, build strength through mass solidarity, right? So that we can actually build a mass movement, and that's the whole idea, to build a balance of power that actually goes beyond activist circles inside and outside and within and outside in the periphery of campuses, right? The goal is to actually go beyond these circles, these groups, political groups of activists on campuses and build a mass movement. Now, in that perspective, you will launch campaigns and you will hear from Eva and Hugo a lot about that, so I'm not going to go too any details here, but you're going to have demands, right? You're going to formulate demands, concrete demands, right? So in that case, for example, you know, you have the demand to block the tuition hike, you know, was announced in 2010 by the Quebec government, right? And then you have a broader perspective also, that you always try to articulate with that, you know? Because we're not just for the tuition, blocking the tuition hike, you know? We want eventually to go towards free education and accessible and, you know, fully publicly funded. And so that through your campaign, you actually systematically are able, in GMMs, in your actions, in front of the media, your own, and the mass media also, you're able to always say, yeah, that's our immediate demand. Because we know the balance of power that we can build, and this is what we believe we can build and win right now. This demand, say, right? Based on a balance of power. But we want to say that we have this broader perspective, and at every occasion we can actually articulate this perspective and say, you know, we're facing commodification of education, and it should be actually public good, for example, right? And also, you want to formulate these demands in a way that is non-corporatist, so that you're not going to oppose your own set of demands, you know, in face of unemployed workers, or, you know, daycare, you know, let's get more money for universities, taken away from daycare, whatever, right? Obviously. And you want to also articulate that to other forms of oppression, for example, SAS, a women's committee, and different other committees who are also trying to relate these struggles as students to other struggles against specific forms of oppressions that exist in society. Now, how do we defend these demands, right? How do we actually fight to win? There's been, you know, the strike that's going on right now in Quebec is actually the ninth in the history of the province, right? The first one was in 68, and then you have eight others after that up to 2012, which is the ninth again. So, And that's how we won. That's why we pay less, right, in Quebec than you people in BC. So the idea is that once you have these grants for labor, you actually build a balance of power, as I said. So the power, the basic idea is here that the power of our representatives, be it again at the provincial level of the executive, you know, committees of our, you know, CFS BC, for example, or at the campus level, the power of our representatives who are going to go and bargain with these people is always only that which we can provide through a collective mobilization, right? Without this balance of power that we build ourselves from below, they're not going to make any gains. They're going to, at best, manage cutbacks. Now, how do you do that? Well, again, so you'll have more details about concrete ways to doing that, but the basic principle is that first you have to have an informed student body. So systematically you're going to produce newspapers, flyers, you're going to be tabling, you're going to go running around campuses and classrooms, you know, etc., right, to circulate information so it's not concentrated at the top with the exec people who are, again, mostly by themselves formulating demands, right? You want the information to circulate systematically and all the time on different topics. Now, you also want to mobilize the membership, right? So that, you know, the student body and the students who are our members can engage in action through a campaign that includes an escalation of the means of pressures, right? So that, you know, you can have, well, again, you know, Hugo and Eva are going to talk more about that, so I'm going to leave it at that for now. But the idea is that at each step, people can realize through this campaign, which includes an escalation of means of pressure, that say you start with a petition, well, it doesn't work, then you go for a provincial protest, and it doesn't work, and then you go on. And as you go, that it might lead to a general strike. And the idea is that through this process, people can actually, you know, identify with the struggle and realize for themselves that you need to go a step further. So that you're not simply making a call for a general strike, which is abstract and in the air, right? The thing that people will just adopt it right away, right? People go through the struggle and they realize the need for themselves to go beyond and to the next step of pressure. And now, the most important point, really, for building this balance of power so that we can defend and fight to win, you know, for our demands, is democracy. Right? If there's one thing that you need to retain, I believe, from what's going on in Quebec and what's been going on in Quebec for decades now, is that you need to have the democratic control of the movement from below. So that students who are engaged in the struggle and people who are engaged in the struggle can actually control the demands, their formulation, what they are, etc. And that they can also make their own call for their own actions. And they can always systematically control what the representatives are doing, right? And so for that, you can have GMMs or GAs, General Membership Meetings, General Assemblies, at the departmental level, some places the faculty, campus-wide, etc. You can have GMMs who are going to make these decisions, have these debates and all of that, and then you can have congresses, right? And then you're going to have, you know, representatives elected at GMMs going to congresses, and it's going to go back and forth between this. And then you can have a real control from below, right? And you get mandate. People who get to congresses, elected to go to congresses as representatives of their local unions, actually get clear mandates. Most of the time, that's the goal. You're trying to have that. And so that through GMM, people can actually, again, through mass GMM, people can identify to this struggle that they're leading. And really realize that it's actually their struggle. It's not something, again, which is abstracted and called for from above, sorry. So that the bargaining team and the media representatives can say that when they again face the people they're facing at the bargaining table, they can say, here are our demands. And this is not simply our great ideas popping out of our great minds because we're so bright and so smart and we've done all this research and we have, you know, nice tie and, you know, shiny shoes, you know, and, you know, we're responsible and moderate individuals. We can say that if you don't, you know, actually answer to these demands, right? Well, we have tens of thousands of people who are in GMMs on a weekly basis and also in congresses on a weekly basis, and they basically are going to take the street and go on strike and you're going to have a lot of trouble. So that we're not thinking alone here, we got tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of people who are thinking right now with us, who share these demands. So it's not just ours, it's theirs. And it changes everything right there. Okay, one last point and then I'll stop. One last thing I want to say is that now, it seems really beautiful, all these principles, right? But how can you actually get started? Well, again, Edwin and Hugo are going to get in more details about that. But one thing I want to say is that if there's one thing I realized in 2004 and 5 during the strike and the campaign that was over a year long before that, and I'm seeing so clearly again in 2012, because I've been going back and forth between Toronto, where I am right now, and Montreal, is that through struggle, through their massive, you know, collective struggle, people actually change themselves. So by trying to actually change your political and social environment collectively, you change yourself as individuals and as groups, right? Individually and collectively, you change. Meaning that you develop new ideas, new capacities. You realize that the power that you're facing in the state is not so legitimate. You realize that you're facing police brutality systematically, and you maybe didn't realize that so clearly before, right? Even if you were an activist, right? You develop new capacities to talk to people, to formulate them, and to develop new ideas around education and all of that, right? I guess I'll stop here, but one thing is, you know, we've seen that, and in 2004, before the strike, there were only probably a few hundred activists in the province of Quebec who believed that we could go on strike. And other people who would talk with would say to us, you know, you're crazy, it's never going to happen, right? Well, a few months after that, they certainly believed it, and they've been going on strike for weeks, and now they became themselves quite radical, right? And on the basis of that struggle, there's been other struggles that have been led in the last 5 or 6 years, and now, you know, on the basis of that, we've been able to build this super impressive moment of struggle in 2012. So it might seem impossible for you right now in Vancouver and BC, but it certainly did seem to most people in Quebec in 2004, and we were able to do that. So I think that it's possible for you to do that.
Okay, so we're going to have Hugo and Ava speak. Are you ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So hi, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to talk and for giving us the time to share our little experience. I just want to say to give a brief overview. We're going to talk about we call our presentation "How to Lead a Successful Strike Campaign in 3 Points." It's kind of a big title, but I think we will manage to go to that. The idea is we want to talk about information, mobilization, and after that, disruption. I think for the context here over there in Vancouver, for you, the more important point are the information and the mobilization, but we'll talk a little also about that.
Okay, so, well, at first, you need to formulate some demands. For sure, we're always granted duties with the neoliberal agenda that were proposed, like here in Quebec, to raise the tuition fees. So, like, what is really important is to target an issue that relates to people, that will relate to their life and will affect them, so that people can feel they can identify with those issues and they'll be able. It's not like something abstract, and it's something concrete that you can like really envision fighting for and against those issues or for. So this is one of the key things to find when you want to lead a successful information campaigns. For sure, you need through research and people who work behind the scenes to develop like a really cohesive discourse. Based on research, I need to produce materials, flyers, websites, all those like that will make that information accessible for all and comprehensive also, so that people can relate to those information, they can get informed, and afterwards they can really empower because they're informed, so they can go out and kind of spread the word, which is really important.
Also, I think one of the key point is the point of the money. Where do you get the money to do all this stuff, actually? Because if we talk about Concordia, where we've been active in the last year, we have some people who are interested into mobilizing and doing information materials and stuff like that. But you always come back to the question of the money. And I think that's one of the thing that made the student strike successful in Quebec is that the people who were in favor of the strike also had the control of their student union. And their student union had access to a lot of funds in order to fund this. So one of the way to get the money is through student union. Another one could be to try to set up financing campaigns and stuff like that. Good to talk with the unions. That's a little some of the stuff we did at Concordia to get money, but most of it came through the student union. And it's really important to try to get the student union on board if you want to have access to these resources. So Zadie talked about it, but I think the information campaign is really the basis of a movement. If every student on the campus is informed of the issues that concern him or her and know that it's going to affect him or her, then is going to be that person is going to be more is probably going to be more easy to mobilize. And so on the point of the mobilization, I think one of the key element is this phrase that we have we're in Quebec that said a successful campaign, a mobilization campaign, achieves to solidify the left, rally the center, and isolate the right on the campus. So you really need to we start that by the premises that on every campus you have people that are left wing, some people who are centered on the center, and some on the right. So if you want to have a successful campaign, you need to unify all of the people on the left against on one or two issues. So that's what we did on the tuition fees. We rallied people who were, they were communists, anarchists, feminists, and all the people working, considering themselves on the left. So we rallied them on that issue. And then you need to go convince people who declare themselves neutral, who say, oh, I don't have this kind of opinion, I don't have an opinion on the subject. You go talk to them, you go pass flyers, you put up posters, and that's how you convince them. And you need to isolate the right, and so the discourse of the right saying education is a private stuff and you should pay for it. We actually had to have a counter rational to isolate that discourse and make it look like it was something on the right, and it was not in the interest of the students. So you solidify the left, you rely on the center, and you isolate the right. That's really a key statement to a successful mobilization campaign.
Yeah, and even more important is you need to get people involved, but like really involved, because you cannot carry such a huge campaign with only, let's say, 10 or 20 people. Like, those people will definitely burn out if they're not able to outreach to other people. And those other people who were not really involved at first, that will, through campaigning or like through meeting peoples, will become involved, and they still need to be autonomous. They need to feel that they're not just hanging out papers, actually do really understand the issues, and that they are fully informed, and they can act on their own, which is really important. So we have like training camps for activists on like different local issues, how they all relate to more global teams, how they all work together. Training camps in which you had like not only more theoretical, but how to go and to do like classroom speeches, how to speak to media, like all that kind of training is really important for people like to feel really confident in what they're doing, because this is like really important if you want to have people to join and to be on board and to stay on board. Like, it's why direct democracy is so important also, because all decisions are not made from above. People feel really, really concerned when they know that their vote or what they'll say or if they can amend it or propose something new, something different, will be taken into consideration. So, like, how to get, like, a really strong base of people to be active and to go and mobilize our base on, like, training camp, a really, like, strong information campaign. And not only about the issue, but you need to know like where to go if you want to get involved. Like who are like the resources? Like all those like it's kind of a side information campaign, so people are able to go and get information about how to get involved. It needs to be really transparent and do in the open.
And I think about this idea that people need to be autonomous, I think the best way to do that is through general assemblies or GMNs, whatever you call them. And because when we look back here, we've been active at Concordia so for the last year, and Concordia is it's a university in Montreal, and this year it was the first strike ever to happen in Concordia.
It's one of the two Anglo film school at Montreal, and it's quite different from a cultural background compared with the Francophone CGF or university. So it maybe looks more like a situation you will face.
Yeah, and so looking back, if I had to do it over, one thing that I would change is really pushing for more general assemblies. You need to have people involved through the process of General Assembly, and have the fact that the General Assembly are the legitimate place where students take a decision, and that's really important, because sometimes we have a strike vote, and people were saying, oh, okay, so you decided this, but I wasn't at the General Assembly, so this doesn't concern me, I didn't vote for this. And if to establish a culture of the General Assemblies take decisions, and these decisions are binding for every student, let's say we adopt the Students Association budget to a General Assembly, so that way we see that the General Assembly has concrete effects, and this empowers people. And this is what, through this process, through having general assemblies on a monthly, bi-monthly basis, this gives the Students Association actually some legitimacy to organize actions and stuff like that, because people feel that they are involved in this.
It's really mean of like going into something really progressively, so people kind of internalize direct democracy, general assembly, because it's not something we're usually used to. It may be really long, it's a lengthy process. General assemblies can be really dull and long, but are still really important. So it's about bringing something really progressively, so people won't get either scared or like really they will just like turn their back over it because it looks too radical. It's about bringing people slowly to something so they will, if you have like clear goal into it, like they will identify with it more easily and you'll get more people engaged with it.
Yeah, and I think that just to finish on maybe on the General Assembly, I think it's also a good way to know how your mobilization is going. And if you call for a General Assembly and you have, I don't know, like 20% of the student's body that show up and actually participate and ask questions and debates, it shows that your campaign is going well, because people are feeling that they have to speak on these issues, and they're involved into the process. So it's really a good way to feel the vibe. And it's a first step to more disruption activities. So I think we were going to talk about this a little more. We call it the fun part, but I think it's really important to focus first on the information and the mobilization. And then when you have a large base, you can go into more disruptive activities.
Well, when we are talking about disruptive activities, one's thinking about demonstration, occupation, sit-in, strike, ultimately, hopefully. But those are really important because it brings really more pressure on the government to bring your issue at the table if you want to go in negotiation. But they are also important, like throughout the mobilization campaign, because it's a place. If let's say you organize a small demonstration, it's a time where people get together and they all walk together for the same, like towards the same goal or occupation. So it's also a moment where people who are involved, the activists or people who are just passing around, can actually see some action. Because you need to find the right balance between action and mobilization, so no one gets too bored or it doesn't get too robotic. So yeah, all disruption, and it's up to the imagination what you can do.
And I think a good way to start is doing local actions. For instance, during the last 2 years in Quebec, we've seen like thousands, not maybe thousands, but hundreds of banner drops, and people, you know, hanging banners on the buildings of their universities, or going into occupy an office of a principal or something like that to protest against tuition hikes. So this action doesn't require a lot of people. I mean, with 20 people, you can occupy any principal office, or with 3 people, you can do a banner drop. But this brings visibility to the movement, and this raises our awareness into the student population. And it gives something fun to do to people who are tired of, you know, getting up at, say, 7 a.m. and firing all the morning. And yeah, I think it's really important to see the strike as the ultimate weapon that the students have, because the strike requires a lot of sacrifices, even for people in favor of the strike. I mean, it's time you lost, it's energy, a lot of energy that's put into something that you don't know if it's going to work. So it's really important to have a build-up and to see the strike as a mean to an end, but really the ultimate mean to force the government to listen to your plans. We didn't really have anything else to say, so maybe if you have any questions, something like that.